brothers and sisters in Christ, grace,
mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us. Amen. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? As he meditated upon the greatness and awesomeness of his Creator God, David, the author of this psalm, asked these questions in Psalm 139. In verses 1 and 2 of the psalm, David acknowledges, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. David is overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. There's no place that he can go where the Spirit is not. There's no situation in which David might find himself where the Spirit is not with him. Everywhere he goes, David can see the Holy Spirit. Everywhere he goes, David can see the work of the Spirit. The Spirit's fingerprints are present wherever he goes, whatever he does, whatever he encounters. And by faith, the same is true for us. As we've been working through the book of Romans this summer, we've been looking at the big picture of God's greater story. We've been reflecting upon the different ways the triune God is present and at work in his creation. 2 weeks ago, we reflected upon Christ, our deliverer, who rescues us from our sin. And last week, we saw God the Father claiming us as his children. Today, we see the Spirit and his work in us and for us. The sermon series we've been using for our reflections on Romans has been engaging various works of art to stimulate our meditation. This series, called God's Greater Story, was created by the Reverend Dr. David Schmidt, who teaches at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And the art Dr. Schmidt places before us this week comes to us from Michelangelo. The works of art are 4 marble sculptures. Well, actually, they're 4 unfinished marble statues. Originally intended for a larger project that was never completed, Michelangelo left these 4 sculptures unfinished. As you examine these 4 marble blocks, you notice the incompleteness of the work. The edges are rough and the stone is misshapen. Yet, emerging from these blocks of stone are the beginnings of figures. Some have no faces, others are missing arms, hands, or feet, yet you can clearly see the beginning of 4 figures. And these 4 figures are actually slaves. They're prisoners. And scholars have given names to these prisoners. On the left here we have the Atlas, next to him the Awakening Slave, then the Bearded Slave, and the Young Slave. As you gaze upon these statues, you realize that, in a way, Michelangelo's work has been frozen in time. Dr. Schmidt states that what they once were, rough blocks of marble, is gone. What they will be, beautiful sculptures, is not yet here. The past is gone, and yet not gone. The future is here, and yet not here. We can see the future slowly taking shape, and yet the past is painfully with us as figures appear before us locked in the stone. In our text this morning from Romans 8, St. Paul invites us into a similar moment, a moment caught between what was or is and what is not yet, a moment where we're caught right now in the middle of God's greater vision and work. Paul states in verse 18 of our text, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Suffering in the present, glory in the future. In some way, Paul is holding suffering and glory together in tension. Because of sin, there's suffering in the world. We're all trapped in suffering and sin and death. And it's not just us. All of creation has been subjected to sin, suffering, and death. But God doesn't leave us trapped here. In and through Jesus, God is bringing about a new creation. In Jesus, God has brought about the beginning of a new creation. But just the beginning. A beginning that has been given to you in your baptism, but still not fully realized. Not yet. The full glory of the new creation is yet to be revealed. And so we stand in this painful moment. Through Jesus, we've been made God's children. All who are in Christ are a new creation. Sin, suffering, and death have been defeated through Jesus' own death and resurrection. Yet who we are, what God has given us, is not yet fully seen and experienced in this world. We still experience sin, suffering, and death. It's all around us. It's in us. Like Michelangelo's statues, we're just beginning to be formed into beautiful sculptures. But we're still encased. We're still imprisoned in rough, unformed rock, longing to be completely freed. We're caught between our present suffering and future glory. We're standing in the tension of suffering and glory. And it's in this moment, this place of suffering and glory, that Paul invites us to look to the Holy Spirit, to trust in His work. In order to look to the Holy Spirit and His work, Paul invites us to boldly and honestly examine our suffering. That might sound kind of odd, but this is where Paul's leading us in Romans 8. But to look at our suffering, we really don't have to look far. We're all still grappling with a global pandemic that has disrupted our lives in so many ways. People have gotten sick, and many have died. Employment terminated, or work drastically changed. School seriously altered, and civil liberties challenged. Coronavirus has certainly left a wake of suffering upon us all in one way or another. And our country has experienced recent social and racial unrest. Injustice and violence have bred fear and suspicion of one another. More suffering. Also in our country, Christianity continues to be pushed to the margins, ostracized, and spurned. Even recently, here in Indianapolis, Christians who have stood upon God's word, God's truth, and God's word have been ridiculed and derided. More suffering. But maybe our suffering isn't so wide-ranging or far-reaching. Maybe you just really dislike your job. Maybe it's hard to get along with your coworkers or boss. Or maybe family relationships are damaged or strained. Or maybe your body isn't working as it should because of an injury or illness. Maybe your spouse is dying from cancer. Or maybe a loved one died and because of COVID you weren't able to be with him or her as you longed to be. Or maybe you're just drained, discouraged, depleted. Maybe in the midst of your suffering you're so overwhelmed the words have left you that all you can do is groan. All of creation, with all of its suffering, is groaning. We, God's people, are a suffering people. Sin, suffering, and death are all around us. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Even in the darkest places of your suffering, God is there. The Holy Spirit is with you. This is where Paul is leading you in Romans 8. The Spirit meets you in the midst of your suffering. The Spirit touches you in your suffering. As you groan out in pain, exhaustion, and discouragement, the Spirit also groans. He groans with you. He groans for you. The Holy Spirit groans on your behalf. He intercedes for you, praying for you to God the Father. The Spirit of God cries out for God's people. The world is groaning as it suffers, awaiting the new creation. God's people are groaning as they are trapped in sin, suffering, and death. But the Apostle Paul reveals one more thing. He opens our ears so we hear one more groan, the groaning of the Spirit who is interceding for you. Paul states in verses 26 and 27, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." You see, while the Spirit knows our suffering, he also knows the mysteries of God. Dr. Schmidt explains, "The Spirit knows not only the deep mysteries of our suffering, the Spirit also knows the deep mysteries of God. God's vision of a new creation. You have been joined by baptism to God's new creation in Christ. God is at work in him. He is shaping our lives, forming our faith, working in small and sometimes painful ways as he continues his promise to bring about the kingdom. We cannot see this plan of God. We cannot see his overall design. Sometimes we can't even see the smallest carvings he does as he leads this world to that day of the new creation. But the Holy Spirit is our comforter and counselor. The Spirit knows the mind of God, and the Spirit knows the suffering of God's people. And, as Paul proclaims, the Spirit joins these two in prayer. Groans and glory are held together by the Spirit for us in prayer. Our suffering touches God's glory in the words of the Spirit. And we can trust his work because of God's love made certain for us in the death and resurrection of his Son. Our suffering touches God's glory through the Spirit's intercession for us. In fact, when Christ returns, when we finally are fully revealed to be the sons and daughters of God, all of our suffering will be transformed into our glory. The resurrected Christ, risen from the dead, still has nail marks in his hands and feet and a hole in his side where he was pierced by a spear. But these marks are no longer the marks of shame, suffering, and death. They are the marks of Christ's glory. Michelangelo's four unfinished sculptures, The Slaves, are currently on display in a gallery in Florence, Italy. But in this same gallery, just down the hallway from where these statues are displayed, stands another work by Michelangelo. It's his famous sculpture of David. Unlike the four slaves, this statue is finished, free from its stone encasement, standing freely in its completion and beauty and glory. In and through Jesus, God is bringing all things to completion. In and through Jesus, the new creation has already begun to invade this present creation. It's already begun to take shape in you and me. Paul in Romans 8 can just barely see this, but trust that it's true, and he offers us hope. hope that lives and breathes through the intercessions of the Spirit. Again, Dr. Schmidt says, although we suffer in this world, we are heirs of the next. The Spirit knows the mind of God, and He hears our cries and prays for us according to God's will. God is alive. He rules over all creation. He sees your life. He knows your suffering. He has sent His Spirit to be here for you. He listens to your groans. He sees God's greater vision, and He puts your life into prayer according to God's will. So wherever you go in this life, whatever you encounter, the Spirit is with you. He'll continue to be with you, and He'll continue to intercede for you to God the Father. Amen. Now may the peace of God, who surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, our intercessor. Amen.